Season countdown continues, and it's Bellarine Football League time with the Drysdale Footy Club, and haven't they been one of the more talked about clubs over the off-season? It's been a disappointing few years for the Hawks. Haven't done much in terms of featuring in finals since appearing in the grand final, I think back in 2013 under John Fitzgerald, but since then it has been all duck and no dinner for the Hawks. They have battled, but they have got a couple of premiership greats taking the helm. One of them has been back at the club for a few years as captain, now stepping up his co-coach Daniel Jull, and two-time premiership star, former assistant coach and now co-coach Luke Matthews has joined him, and they are looking to take the Hawks forward in 2019. Jully, Flybes, lovely to see you, gentlemen. Welcome to K-Rock.
Thanks, Kingy.
Thanks, Kingy. Thanks for having us.
The hype, there's been plenty. I'm guessing that you're not immune to it, that everybody's talking up Drysdale, and with what you've recruited, potentially making a return to finals. Jully, is that the sense you're getting from those outside the club, that they expect you to improve?
Yeah, I'd say so. There is, you know, the external sort of talk that we've picked up a few players and lots of stuff, but internally we know we've got a lot of work to do. We've finished eighth the last 3 years, as you said, and we won five games last year, so we're coming from a fair way back, and we're probably a little bit unknown at this stage. You know, we've picked up some handy recruits, but as I said, we've got a long way to sort of make up.
Yep. Talk to us about the coming together of you and Flybes as co-coaches. When did the club first approach you after Chappie decided that he was no longer going on?
Yeah, so towards the end of the season, Chappie obviously, you know, let the club know he wasn't going to go any further. The club sort of approached me and wanted to sort of see if I was interested, and I showed some interest straight away. I thought it'd be a great sort of job to take on. Soon after that, Luke got involved. I guess his passion sort of came back for coaching and wanted to get back into football full on. So, yeah, we sort of ignited and sort of took the club into the pre-season. We've been pretty happy so far.
Flybes, talk to us about getting back on board. Talk to us about the approach from Drysdale, and I suppose what thought you had to put into it. Was it an instant decision, yep, I'd love to do this, or did you have to consider the offer?
It was quite bizarre, actually. I moved back for work back in Geelong, so a lot of time opened up, free time that I could get back and watch Drysy, because previously I was working full-time in Melbourne. So I started watching a few more games, and then towards the end of the year, once Wade made his decision, Troy Harding, our football manager, contacted me to help out trying to find a coach and if I was interested in getting involved, which I was. I wanted to play a part in whatever I could, and one thing led to another where I was helping out with that and recruiting, and then went to the next step of, I was going to assist in some way on a match day, and then the next thing it went to, being a co-coach. And it's always been something I've always wanted to do from a young age, and probably all the stars aligned this time. It was perfect timing, and, to do it with Daniel's, pretty special, I reckon.
Jully, for you, is it nice to have that, not a safety net, but I'm guessing being a playing coach is difficult, but to have somebody who has got that ability to make decisions on the bench means you can still, I suppose, enjoy your footy without having to rack your brain about what's going on the field and trying to make moves and changes and the like.
Yeah, no, it's been brilliant so far. I think Luke's brought a lot to the footy club, and the standards that he sort of he applied when he was a player, he's brought into the footy club as a coach, and it's allowed me to sort of be a player but also a coach as well. He's been terrific, and I've loved working with him. I've learned a little bit off him. But I think it's the players have really showed they're really sort of bought into what we've tried to do this year, and I guess it's made it a little bit easier for us coaches if they're actually buying into what we're trying to bring to the club. From our perspective, it's been fantastic so far.
One of the big things that you have looked at is bringing back one pointers, and you've done that in terms of Ben Carmichael coming back from obviously a stint at Leopold, where he played in the premiership last year at Queenscliff. I know he's at the back end of his career, but at Bellarine level, he's still got something to offer. You can bring Mitch Maguire back in the prime of his football career, and Jared Love, I think, comes back, if not a one pointer, maybe only a two. Is that correct? After he had a short stint with you guys before going back to Bell Park.
Yeah, he'll be a three-point player.
He's a three, is he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure two or three-point player.
Okay, all right. You have got, and this did raise the eyebrows of some rivals, that you do have a couple of extra points to play with this year in terms of cap.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably a lot of people externally maybe were surprised by that, but I think that's probably just because once the points were released, we'd done a heavy amount of recruiting prior to that. So the club fully, if you go on the criteria, deserve to get those points. Mm. Going on previous performance, you know, overall looking at all the grades and what they graded on. Because we recruited so heavily, pretty much as soon as the season finished, it probably, you know, some people probably raise their eyebrows about it, but the club certainly, you know, over the how they work out the point system, definitely deserved them.
Yep. Your big one is Lachie Dalgleish was on Essendon's list, and of course most recently playing in the VFL with Footscray. What's he brought to the table so far, Jolly, and how will you use him? Because he's obviously got a few strings to his bow as being so quick.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, to be honest. He's you're not quite sure what you're probably going to get from guys that are coming from a really high standard, whether they want to you know, buy in and be a part of the club and lots of stuff. But he, you know, since the first day of training, or even before that, he's been at, you know, all the little catch-ups we've had. He's been at the every training session. And when he's sort of been around the boys, he's, you know, he's really tried to get to know everyone. And I guess his you know, his experience from those higher levels is starting to show out as well, like through training, the way he sort of prepares himself at training, always doing everything he can to make sure his body's right, but also to actually... you know, when he's out in the track, he's training. He's just sort of a next level above. So a lot of the boys have seen that and really tried to work with him and try and copy him, I guess.
Yep. What's position-wise, how are you going to use him? Have you worked that out? I know you've had one practice match against Thompson. But
yeah, he played in the middle against Thompson. We probably going to play him there, to be honest. He's you know, a gun player, so a lot of the games have probably won or lost in the midfield. So if we can get him in there and you know, get the ball going our way from his sort of disposal, it's going to make it a lot easier for us.
How are you looking forward to lining up in a midfield that's you, Dalgleish and Maguire?
It's pretty exciting, to be honest. Like, you look around, like, you got Lockie coming in there. You know, he's elite by foot, and Goose is, you know, a really big body. It's pretty exciting. Hopefully I'll just run around and no one sort of sees me and I can get a kick.
The other big recruit, obviously, is Jared Garth, power forward, proven goal kicker at GFL level, also on the other side of 30. But guys that come back have shown that at Bellarine level they can have an impact. I'm guessing that's what you're expecting out of Garthy. And I suppose the big question is, how is his body? He has copped a real hiding over the last decade or so.
Yeah. Like Jolly said, like with Lachie Dalgleish, like Garthy's the same. He's fully invested in what we want to do and in amongst the playing group in terms of training and catch-ups we've had. Yeah, he's been brilliant. And like Lachie as well, the players lift when they see these guys at training or once they get to know him. So, yeah, Garthy's been huge. You know, I think it's great for our footy club and our playing group, but also for the competition to have him in there. But yeah, his body's sound, he'll be fine, ready to go round one. He'll play the next practice match most likely against Grovedale, and yeah, he's excited about the year ahead.
The late recruit you got, Jesse Lothian from Leopold, premiership player there. 11 clubs in the GFL were very grateful to see him go because he does put the fear of God into opponents. Has he shown any of that on the track yet with his, kamikaze approach to the ball?
I actually spoke to him on the phone last night and he was just telling me how, you know, training, he just gets through training, but Saturdays is... You know, he just loves it. He just thrives. He turns into another person. You know, he's just a passionate,
yes, he does.
Hard player. But I think that was the best thing that excited us the most about him. He's a unique player. He's got attributes that you've either got or you don't. You know, he's a proven leader. He's a presence out in the footy field. You know, he's going to be huge for our younger group. And just as a person around the footy club, I reckon. But... yeah, he did say, you know, if I ever was to train how I play, I wouldn't survive, and we probably wouldn't have teammates around us that would survive either with him running around.
Jolly, as you well know, Chappie last year, when it was realised that finals were off the radar, invested some time in some kids, and I suppose how have they come along in the pre-season, and who should we be keeping an eye for out of the younger group?
Yeah, Jack Priest played the last game of last year against Anglesey, played quite well, actually. He's been pretty good over the pre-season.
That's Peter's son?
Yeah, Pete's son.
Yep.
I think he's only 17, I think.
Still eligible for 17s.
Yep. Yeah, he's had a really good pre-season, probably one of the fittest blokes on the list. And, yeah, his enthusiasm, his speed, his work rate has been huge and has been, you know, noticeable from a coaching's perspective. Tommy Randone, a young guy coming through into the under-19s this year.
Another son of a great, and exactly. Mario.
Yeah, he's been pretty exciting to watch across the pre-season. So he might get a chance, you know, in the first few rounds if he, you know, continues his form. Harley Pierce as well, another one is showed a little bit.
Yep, come back from Ocean Grove.
Yeah, come back from Ocean Grove.
Yep. Will Kilpatrick's on the Falcons list. If he's not needed there, will we see him play senior footy?
I'm not quite sure, to be honest. Hopefully he gets a game in the Falcons and he plays all the games there. I know he's set the time trials alight with his running, but... yeah, I'm not quite sure where he's at, to be honest. But hopefully, if he does want to come back, we'll have him for sure, I reckon.
Yeah. Flybs, how are you dealing with the expectation? And everybody's talking and, you know, you both of you know enough people in the local footy scene that I'm guessing people are, you know, bailing you up and saying, gee, you've recruited well. You must be looking forward to a good season.
Yeah. It's probably a bit both ways. Like, it's great for the town. There's an excitement, enthusiasm around the footy club in the town. The recruits we've got, obviously myself and Jolly taking over as co-coaches, you know, the exciting young players we've got. I try not to think about it. We just need to concentrate on what we can control, and that's, you know, trying to teach these young guys and bring this team closer together and drive our standards that, you know, we don't want to be a team that finishes eighth anymore. We want to go somewhere and take this club back to the top. We know it's not going to happen overnight. But, yeah, I'm not too fussed about external opinions and pressures.
It's 10 years or, you know, 10 years since the first of the back-to-back flags. I know there'd been a significant drought beforehand, but in terms of Drysdale Footy Club, you know, being out of finals and the like, this is a drought in terms of that in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah, like there's a stat there that I looked at. In the last 78 games of football, the club's only won 22 games in the seniors. So that's a pretty, you know, it's a poor reflection of the club. You know, it probably deserves better, whether it's a lot of bad luck with injuries or just personnel. But, yeah, and that's why me and Jolly are on board. We want to change that around and we want to get back to, you know, being successful again and being a feared, respected club that's playing finals footy. You talk to a lot of these guys like Jolly when he was younger coming through the ranks that you always watch the seniors playing finals and they were always winning games of football, where probably that's gone missing the last 5 or 6 or so years. So, but, you know, it is quite bizarre too. Like, I remember when I got appointed, it's funny that, you know, it's 10 years since 2009 and then myself and Jolly, you know, I remember Jolly was a 17, 18-year-old kid then, you know, and I was probably similar to what he is now at 28. You know, coming in towards the end, prime year football, sort of a bizarre scenario, really.
Hopefully history can repeat, Jolly, for your sake, that 2019-2020 can be premiership years. Obviously, there's a bit of work to be done. You've got the Thompson game out of the way and had a comfortable win. Grovedale and Cobden to come. So you've got a good mix of, I suppose, quality in terms of your rivals get to test yourselves against an up-and-coming GFL side.
Yeah, we get to play Grovedale. You know, they've probably finished middle of the road last year in the GFL and really looking to probably step it up this year. And I guess it's a great challenge for our boys. And hopefully we can, we just take it, head on. We take confidence out of the Thompson game we played the other day. And I think we've become the right attitude and, you know, the things we want to work on, we implement those in the game, we'll be fine. And Cobden, that's probably our dress rehearsal for round one. And a little bus trip up there, which will be nice as well.
At the game against Grovedale out at Windsor Parker Ground, you know very well, Flybs, being a North Shore boy. Is there just a little inkling to want to pull the boots on and even just run around in the twos that day?
No chance. I actually thought one night I might join into one of the trainings when I didn't really have anything planned to take any drills that night, and I think I lasted 20 minutes and the hamstring got a bit tight, so... I haven't touched the footy since or joined in any drills again.
Did you suffer hamstring awareness? That seems to be the new buzz term.
Yeah, nah. I'm pretty lucky. I never did any soft tissue injuries when I played, but I knew something wasn't right that night during the training drill.
First month, Queenscliff, Ocean Grove, Anglesey and Port. So two finalists from last year. Ocean Grove. Drysdale have actually had a a fairly decent record against Ocean Grove in recent years. It's one of those bizarre ones where they've been going okay, but Drysdale seem to be able to pick them off once a year, Jelly.
Yeah, it is weird. I don't know how that sort of happens, but maybe we just play well against them. They've still been able to beat us as well. But yeah, I guess Queensley first round. We're really looking forward to that contest. And last year we won one, they won one, and they'll be looking to improve. And they had a really good year last year, so we'll be trying our best to knock them off that first week. And then after that, Ocean Grove and Anglesey. I think Anglesey's a Easter game, I think. Yeah. So that'll be a big one down there as well.
We had Paul Nigrove from Anglesey on the season countdown, obviously, earlier in the series, and he was looking forward to that day, the Erskine-Garth shootout battle. And with obviously only, I think there's only four games of footy on locally that day, there might be a big crowd down at Alcoa Oval.
Yeah. Especially Anglesey, small ground too, one kick out of the middle and, getting it deep to these guys. So, like I said earlier, I think it's great for the competition to have these guys on board. And like you said, Easter weekend will probably, hopefully it does attract a big crowd for both clubs and, just keep, putting the Ballarine Football League up there, that it's a good competition to come and watch.
Yep. Port Arlington on Anzac Day, talk about clubs having the wood. Port seem to rise on Anzac Day, don't they? And you've been a victim unwillingly the last 3 years.
Yeah, no, it's been a good battle, to be honest. That they really, or we do as well. We pick ourselves up for Anzac Day, and we want to play our best footy. And they've had I think they won last year. We won the year before, so it's sort of gone both ways a little bit. So we're well aware that we need to be right and ready to go for that contest as well, and it's definitely a privilege for the Drysdale Football Club and the Port Arlington Football Club to play on a special day like that.
You guys obviously want a challenge for a flag, but do you both see Barn Heads right now as the team to beat with the recruiting they've done on top of what they already had?
Probably Barn Heads. Monowari going to be thereabouts. It's a pretty even competition. You just don't know, and so it's been pretty quiet in terms of recruiting wise. So, apart from probably ourselves and Newcomb, it's been pretty quiet around the other teams. So, with Torquay, you never know what they're going to do. Geelong Ammos, Queenscliff.
Have Ammos been concerningly quiet, that you're just waiting for them to go bang with a big recruit?
Well, I suppose in the past when I was back playing, it was always probably ourselves, Torquay and Ammos that were the top teams. And genuinely, them two teams would always be able to recruit pretty well. And so it's been probably a bit of a change of the guard, maybe. I'm not too sure, but maybe they're keeping things under wraps. But, footy's a funny game. It doesn't matter what your team is on paper. You've got to still produce the goods out there for that 2 hours and a lot of luck with injuries, form. So, I think probably Barnheads probably do stick out at this stage.
Yep. Jelly, you've been an interleague rep in recent years. Will you be putting your hand up? I'm guessing most of the league will be putting their hand up to play against the GDFL in this year's Community Championships game.
Yeah, I'll put my hand up, but I don't think I'll be getting a game. There's plenty of other quality midfielders out there that will be getting a game ahead of me. So that's something that the Ballarine should definitely get around. I think the GDFL, I know, will, through Reece, will... we'll make sure that they put their best side out there. So we need to represent the Ballarine as best we can as well.
Yep. I'm not sure whether Reece Holwell will go in as a playing coach or a non-playing coach of that side, but you played with him in 2009 in the Premiership. Would you love to play against him, or is he a bloke you don't want to play against?
Yeah.
Maybe ask Jelly to answer this question honestly after the weekend.
he's a good fella. He plays it hard, so... I'd love to play against him.
Did you and Reece go toe to toe in the practice match? Did
No, not toe to toe. Not much in it really. I'll leave it with that. But I'd like to play him again, to be honest.
That's very diplomatic of you, Jelly. Boys, we really appreciate you coming in. It's a fantastic off season you've had, but as you said, Flybs, you need to translate that into on field once the ball's bounced on April 6th, and looking forward to seeing how the Drysdale story evolves throughout 2019. Thanks for joining us, boys. Good luck.
Thanks. Cheers, Kingy. Thanks for your support.
Daniel Jell, Luke Matthews, co-coaches of Drysdale, joining us on the season countdown. And you can join K-Rock Footy Tipping thanks to Momentum Energy. Are you a Drysdale supporter? Think the Hawks are going to go all right this year? Well, make sure you join our BFL Tipping as part of Momentum Energy's K-Rock Footy Tipping. We're giving $1,000 to the leading BFL tipster this year. And if Drysdale's your club and you nominate them, the Hawks will also pick up $1,000 if you happen to win K-Rock Footy Tipping. We're doing it for the GFL as well, and there's also $1,000 on the line in the AFL competition. $5,000 all up, thanks to Momentum Energy. krockfootball.com.au. Head there, look for the Footy Tipping link on the homepage. This has been the Season Countdown. We've been talking to Drysdale co-coaches Luke Matthews and Daniel Jull. Next in our series, we're going to catch up with East Geelong's Jeremy Power.